Okay, today we're looking at Acts chapter 4, and I'm taking the title from the message, for the message, from verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Great power. God's power was upon them. And not only that, great power and great grace was upon them all. That'll serve as a title. Great grace was upon them all. As I pointed out earlier, that word great means extremely large, vast, big, mega, enormous, tremendous grace. And we know the grace of God is the sovereign grace of God. Now, every believer can identify with these believers at Jerusalem. It is only by the sovereign grace of God that we believe the gospel. We believe according to the working of His mighty power. And it's the same power that raised up the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can say with the Apostle Paul, by the grace of God, by the grace of God, I am what I am. If you hold your place there and turn to Acts chapter 15, the first Bible conference that was held in Jerusalem with the discussion how God saves sinners, Peter stood up and cleared the air in Acts 15 verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we shall be saved. It's only by His grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. Now we have in these few verses, we have given unto us a true description of the early church there at Jerusalem. Remember at the beginning there were just 120 souls. And then Peter preached that message and God added 3,000. And then Peter preached another message and God added 5,000. As they met together there in Jerusalem, Peter and John came back from being persecuted and imprisoned. And they told the church of all that God had done through them. And listening to their words of persecution, then they did this. They took their burden to the Lord. And when they heard that, verse 24, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, which made heaven and the earth, the sea, and all them that is. Now, it is always a good and right thing for us to take our burdens to the Lord, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, down to verse 29, they make 29 and verse 30, they make three requests unto the Lord. And we read in Scripture, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Cry out unto God. If you have a burden, have a need, cry out to the Lord. His ears are open to the cries of His children. Now, notice, first of all, what they say. Lord, behold their threatenings. Behold their threatenings. In other words, they're saying, Lord, subdue our enemies. Lord, be our strength. Be our help. Lord, subdue our enemies and help us. Now, don't turn. Let me just get this for you. This is familiar to most of you. In Psalm 27, you know, David had many enemies that chased and hunted him, including his own family. But he said this, and this is the same thing these folks are praying here. Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness we may speak Thy word. David prayed, Lord, the Lord is my light, Psalm 27, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, My heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. In this I'll be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Lord, subdue our enemies. Grant, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with boldness they may speak the word. Now, the word here is the Lord Jesus Christ. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Grant thy servants boldness. Now, grant is the gift, like repentance was granted unto Israel. Grant thy servants boldness to speak the word of the Lord, as they did earlier. Remember in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, grant unto us to speak and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ without reservation, with freedom, liberty, and frankness. May God be pleased and give us that here. As Paul said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that is blessed to believe it. Now, I'll give you an example of that. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. The Apostle Paul's last sermon to the elders at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptation which befell me by lying in wait of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same chapter, look at verse 27. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God. That is, to preach the gospel, which he had purchased with his own blood. Lord, grant thy servants boldness that they may go and preach the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing they say here in verse 30. Grant boldness that we might preach. Lord, behold their threatenings. Undertake for us. Subdue our enemies. And the third thing they say here, and they pray for, Lord, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. By stretching forth, notice, thy hand to heal. Now, his hand are the sovereign hands of God. He does according to his will in the army of heaven, among the inhabitants of this earth, and none can stay his hand. Lord, grant boldness that we may preach the gospel, and then you stretch forth your hand. How does he stretch forth his hand to heal? Through the preaching of the gospel. That's what he's saying there. He's the only one that has hand that can heal vile, wretched, dead sinners. It pleased God through preaching to save his people. Lord, grant us boldness that we may preach, and then stretch forth your hand to heal. And that's how he does it, through the preaching of the gospel. You remember our Lord said in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And do it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything God has for sinners is through and in and by the Lord Jesus Christ, who had no sin, knew no sin, and did no sin, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, heal sinners. The Lord Jesus Christ, we had it on the radio this morning, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that the Lord Jesus Christ came to heal, save sinners. Paul said, I'm the chief one. He came to seek and to save the lost. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. Now, that's their prayer. What's going to happen? Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God. You remember, they prayed to that end, and the Lord answered that prayer, and they spake the word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they did so with boldness. Boldness. The place was shaken. Some think, like in Acts chapter 2, as a mighty rushing wind on the day of Pentecost. Others, I think, refer to what happened when Paul and Silas were in jail in Philippi, when they sang praises unto the Lord at midnight. You remember what happened? God sent an earthquake and the place was shaken. God rocked the jailhouse, and only God can do that. God used these few men, fishermen, unlearned and ignorant men, as some said, to shake this world. In another place in the book of Acts, chapter 17, says these men have come into our town. These men have turned the world upside down. God shakes this earth with the gospel. Every time we see or read about or feel an earthquake, we've even had earthquakes here, haven't we? Who can shake the earth but God alone? Who alone can shake a dead sinner and wake him up and raise him from the dead and quicken him? Only God. And they were filled, notice this, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, as all God's people are, was sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. But these folks that were filled with the Holy Ghost, you know what they did? They didn't preach about the Holy Ghost. They preached the word of God with boldness. That is, they preached Christ, his person and his work. They lifted up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were blessed to preach the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and they did so with boldness. You remember, we have an example of that in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, when they stood before that Sanhedrin court and said, when they asked, by whose name have you done this miracle? And they said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they went further and they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, regarding the preaching, we have no option but to preach the word of the Lord and do so with boldness, not with an apology. Well, God is absolutely sovereign. Well, you know, I'm sorry about that, but that's just the way it is. No, we don't need to apologize for God. He is the absolute God, and we speak that with clarity and boldness. God is God. Beside him, there is no other. Salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ, in no other. That's why we are determined to preach nothing else, nothing less, and nothing more but Jesus Christ and him crucified, and salvation that is of the Lord. Now, in verse 32, verse 33, and verse 34, 35, here we have the Lord's vivid and colorful description of the Lord's church at Jerusalem. Now, notice several things about this church. And I mean by that, when I say church, I don't necessarily mean a local congregation. I'm talking about those who are called of God, called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. But this assembly at Jerusalem, it says here that the multitude of them that believed. Now, faith is a miracle of God's grace. If any man truly believes the gospel, it's because God has granted him faith to believe. We only believe the gospel according to the working of his mighty power. The multitude of them that believed, we believe through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believing the gospel is no small thing. It's a miracle of God's grace. Peter preached one time and God added 3,000. Peter preached another time and God added 5,000 more. Now there's 8,000 people from 120 to 8,120. They're all in Jerusalem with one heart, one mind, believing the gospel of God. What a miracle. They were granted faith in Christ, granted repentance, both repentance and faith. They come at the same time, but from the same hand of God. It's the goodness of God. Faith's the gift of God, and the goodness of God leads us to repentance. God grants faith, and God gives and grants repentance. They believe the gospel. And the fruit of that, secondly, in verse 32, it says they that believed were of one heart. They were of one soul, one heart. God had given them a new heart in regeneration. They were made new creatures in Christ Jesus. And several times we've seen in the book of Acts, they were of one accord. One accord, being in harmony. If you look back at chapter 1, verse 4, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. In chapter 2, we see that again. In chapter 2, verse 46, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were all of one accord and of one mind, one heart, one soul. What a blessing. That is, he's saying this, they were all united together in one body, under one head, being found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers are inseparably united, eternally so, and joined together with the Lord Jesus Christ from eternity. And it's only in time that he lets us know that we are one with him. I in them, thou in me, that we may be made perfect in one. We are many members, but we're one body in Christ. And being one body in Christ, we have one heart. One heart that's broken of God. He's nigh unto them of a broken heart, save as such as be of a contrite spirit. One heart, having a new heart given of God, and we're one soul, one mind. David writes about it this way. Behold how good, behold how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in oneness, in unity. We read in Ephesians chapter 4 a moment ago, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. They believed, and those who believe are of one heart and of one soul. Read on, verse 32. Neither said any of them that had anything which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. They had all things in common. Not only did they have all things common in a carnal and material way, they sold out because of persecution and the pending destruction upon them. Because of the special love of God shed abroad in their hearts by the Holy Spirit, they were gracious and generous to others, as it says in verse 34. Neither was there any that lacked among them. For as many as were possessors of house, land, sold them and brought the prices of these things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. God opened their heart, gave them a new heart. God opened their hand and made them generous. And here's the point for us. Those who have experienced grace are gracious. These folks, because God, the love of God was shed abroad in their hearts, they were gracious. They sold out everything to the cause of God and the gospel. Those who have experienced grace are gracious. Those who have experienced His love manifested, shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, they're loving and kind to others. Our Lord said, "Be ye merciful to others as the Lord has been merciful to you. Forgive others as the Lord has forgiven you." But I want to consider this in a spiritual way. Not only did they have all things in common naturally, and they brought everything together to help one another, but to consider this in a spiritual way for us today. Believers share all things in common with the salvation that is of the Lord. Believers are all saved exactly the same way. We have all things in common. And the Lord meets our every need from the storehouse of His mercy. And He gives distribution from His storehouse of mercy to every sinner His own that are in need. God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory through the Lord Jesus Christ. They have all things in common. Now let's find some scripture here. Turn over here to the book of Jude, right before the Revelation. God saves His people, whom He saves wisely by His grace, all exactly the same way. They have all things in common. That is, they have a common salvation. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, which was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints." So we have that common salvation in Christ. Now turn back a few pages over to the book of Titus. Titus chapter 1 of Titus. And we have here something else that's common with all believers. Titus chapter 1, verse 1. "Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, but hath manifested in due times His word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the command of God our Savior, to Titus my own son, after the common faith." What is the foundation of faith? The Word. What is the object of saving faith? The Lord Jesus Christ. We have a common salvation. We have a common faith. Believers are of one hope, one love, and one way. What is that one hope? Remember what we read over here in Ephesians chapter 4. There is one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. What is that one hope? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The hope we have is not a wish or a shot in the dark. We have a good hope through grace. Christ in you, that is the hope of glory. We have that all in common. And our need is met in the storehouse of mercy, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that common salvation. We have that common faith. We have that common and one hope. And then we have that one common love. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And that He sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. We only love Him because He first loved us. We have that common love of the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord said, let him be accursed. We have one common salvation, one common faith, one common hope, one common love. Our Lord said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciple, that you love one another. And we have one common way. What is that way that we are going? Well, it's the highway of grace, is it not? Our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by and through me. Now, we lay down everything at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 35, and he gives to us generously from the storehouse of mercy as we have need. And we can use that in a spiritual way. And I think that makes good application for us. There was just one gospel, not another. There's just one God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the privilege to call upon him always and constantly for all of our need. And he meets every need that we have in Christ, according to the riches of his grace. All salvation, all pardon and mercy is in that storehouse, the Lord Jesus Christ. Call upon him. Everyone who does. You remember back over here in chapter 2, verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, he has a storehouse of mercy. Sinners who are in need are to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, back to the text. They had all things common, verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, two more points here. I got just a few minutes here. With great power gave the apostles witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, his glorious, glorious resurrection power. If you'll find 1 Peter chapter 1. How much good news would the gospel be if the Lord Jesus Christ would not, if he did not, come out of the tomb on the third day? We would have no hope. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living, lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, through an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. The apostles were eyewitnesses to his glorious resurrection. We're going to see that all the way through in every sermon that's preached, that the apostles preached in the book of Acts. There was some element to the witness of the Lord's resurrection from the dead. Peter said, you killed the Prince of Life, but God raised him from the dead. If there be no resurrection from the dead, we have no salvation. If the Lord Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead and ascended to glory and seated at the right hand of God, everything he said was a lie. Everything he did was in vain, and his soul is in hell if he's not resurrected and ascended and seated in the heavenlies right now. And that's not overstating it. His resurrection is valid and necessary to our salvation. That's right. Now, here's the last point. Great grace was upon them all. Now, that's the only way they could preach the word with boldness. That's the only way they could believe the gospel. It's the only way they could be of one heart and of one soul. It's the only way they could sell out and submit unto the Lord. It's the only way they could have all things in common. It's the only way they could give great witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said, we've seen him. Our hands have handled him. Our eyes have looked upon him, who is the word of life. Great grace was upon them. Great grace was upon them. I read something the other day by a friend of mine. He's a pastor out in Rock Valley, Iowa. And he said this about grace. It's real short. Let me just read it to you. Grace is not merely a doctrine, but an unstoppable force of God. It is never without effect. We are chosen by grace with the undeniable effect that we are His. We're redeemed by His grace with a certain effect that we are free in Christ, justified freely by His grace. We are called by grace with the inescapable effect that we shall be forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His grace. You see, of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. Great grace was upon them. Now, we cannot preach grace, and the only grace there is sovereign grace. We cannot preach grace too often, too boldly, too sovereign, or too strongly. When Paul writes back from prison and reminds Timothy not to be ashamed of me or the gospel, he said, it's God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our work, but according to His own purpose and grace given us in Christ before the foundation of the world. It is salvation only by the grace of God. Now let's turn to a few scriptures and read this one more time. Turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 24. I could quote these to you, but I want you to read with me. Romans 3, 24. Romans 3, 24. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 23, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. How are we justified? Freely by His grace. Now turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Romans 5, verse 20, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Read on. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Their sovereign grace. Grace reigns. Grace is sovereign. But notice it. It's through the righteous, faithful obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, being obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The apostle writes about it this way. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be made rich in Him. One more reference. In the book of Romans here, chapter 11, there's a remnant, verse 5, Romans 11, verse 5. Even so at this time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. God elected a people in eternity. We are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Now that's the election of grace. It's not the election of works, is it? It's not the election of merit, is it? It's unconditional election, the election of grace. And, verse 6, if by grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is not really grace. But if it be of works, then it's not grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, he's saying this. Salvation is all of grace, all of God, all in Christ, or it's not. It's either all works or all grace. It can't be both. And we know this book teaches that salvation is by the grace of God. You see that statement again back in the text, with great power, power of God was upon them. The Holy Spirit filled them with the true witness of the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them. Grace. I love that word. Did you ever notice how that word sounds a whole lot like Christ? Grace. Christ. One and the same. May our great God and Savior give unto us one heart, one soul, that we might be in one accord. May He be pleased to teach us that we have all things in common, united together in Christ. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we stand complete, that we may, with great power, plainly, boldly, always, clearly, determined to preach Christ and Him crucified as the way of salvation. Salvation is all of God's grace. Oh, to grace, the songwriter put it, daily I'm constrained to be, lest thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee.